For the arts.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. And support for Goodwill, for WMNF comes from our members in Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? And when those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.com. O-R-G. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is Community Radio, 88.5 FM from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This afternoon, we present our feature, Everyday Ethics, and here to present that feature is the host of Your Everyday Ethics, Adam Baxt.
Hey, how's everyone doing? Happy Wednesday, 1:05 p.m. just about, and thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Executive Session, a radio show about our executive branch in these United States. And through this show, we are testing a certain proposition that our republic will fare better if instead of yelling at each other across the street, we talk to each other above the back fence. The we I am referring to is, of course, all of you and all of us in the studio. Today I am joined here in the session by your regular host and master of ceremony, Mr. John Gilmore. Happy Wednesday, John.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
As well as the man behind the phone, Mr. Bill Grace, who will be taking your calls and maybe asking you for a word or two before you're on the air. You can get in contact with us by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or through text at 813-433-0885. All three ways are your tickets into the session. So let's talk. We start this Wednesday edition in our normal fashion with a conversation from the team of Everyday Ethics. And this week we revisit a classic episode in light of the holiday season. That's right. Hang a wreath, trim the tree, and collect your receipts, because in celebration with our friends at the IRS, we return to an Everyday Ethics episode on taxes.
Taxes? Aren't they even ethical?
This is Everyday Ethics.
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
Hi there, I'm Craig Kopp, and I'm at the studios of WMNF Tampa, and this is Everyday Ethics, where we talk about things happening in your life, in the news, and see if there's some ethical issues involved with that. Talk about it and let you make up your mind about what you're going to do with it all. When I say we, I'm talking about Art Kaplan. He's a medical ethicist at the Langone Medical Center in New York City. Hello, Art.
Hello.
And Kelly McBride. She's a media ethicist at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies across the bay from me in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, Craig.
So taxes, lots to talk about that, a tax reform or a tax rewrite or whatever is going on in the halls of Congress, I guess has us all thinking about taxes, but we all think about taxes anyway because it's coming to the end of the year and going to be taxed on what we made or various things this year.
Also, there's this thing going on in Congress, I don't know, some minor reform of our tax code. It's going to change the fabric of American society, maybe?
There are so many things involved in that tax bill. I was just hearing this morning. Let's say you go to a grad assistant or something, and you get paid a $15,000 stipend, plus you get free tuition.
Now you got to pay taxes on that.
On the tuition. So you got to pay taxes on $55,000 instead of $50,000. Wow, that's a major change.
That's a great example of how it's changing the fabric of American society, because there are many people that will make decisions not to go to graduate school you know, it will change who gets an advanced degree.
Will they, Art, take that tuition that an athlete makes and make him pay taxes on it now? If he gets a free tuition, will that count as income?
You know, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Wait, I thought anybody who got free tuition would have to pay taxes on it.
I think it was more under the grant side rather than some sort of a scholarship thing. That's a good question. But in any event, in looking at the whole tax reform thing, I mean, there's some people who hate taxes to the point where they say we shouldn't have any. But that doesn't make any sense because you're going to have some government presence. Remember, those of you who don't think about this, 60% of our taxes right now go to defense. That's where the budget is. And if you added in the VA, it's another 5%. So you get 2/3 of what you're spending on protection. Taxes actually oriented toward your protection.
And that goes all the way back to the founding of the country.
That's why countries exist.
That was the big question amongst all the colonies was you have to band together and how are we going to pay for this and who's going to pay for it, hence taxes.
And then you got taxes for your infrastructure. There's no private entity that's going to make it worthwhile to pay for all the roads or rural electricity or other utility things where it doesn't make sense from a market point of view to have individuals try to pay for their own road or pay for their own bridge or pay for their own airport. So I'm going to argue that there is a moral justification for taxes. The purposes are okay. And in this tax reform thing, what we're arguing about then is not whether there should be taxes, but what's fair. If you want to get a certain amount of money, what's the fair way to do it? And one that drives me particularly nuts, aside from the scholarship questions, is the estate tax. Because that one basically says, if you're Donald Trump and you make a lot of money, you can pass it on under the tax reform idea to Donald Trump Jr. and no taxation on that. And the reason this one drives me nuts is why should children or descendants who didn't earn it benefit from what their parents did?
Well, even if you tax it, they still benefit from it.
Right. But why wouldn't we take a little of it for redistribution? It's like, aren't we, I say to my free market friends, aren't we like for competition and rewarding achievement? So being born in Darien, Connecticut, or Sonoma County, California, that's nice and good for you, and you're going to get a lot of advantages in terms of where you live and where you go to school and stuff, but do we really have to say, you know, tax-free on that $30 million estate? We're not going to exact anything back?
Well, let's back up a bit and just talk about the fact that your tax system reflects a value set. And so the question is, does the tax system as it exists or as it's about to exist reflect the value set that we want it to reflect? So we tax things in a bunch of different ways. We tax it on the retail level when you pay a sales tax. We tax different types of income, right? There's earned income, the kind where you actually go and work for something and somebody gives you a paycheck for it. And then there's income that you earn by parking your money somewhere and getting income that way. And we're in this weird place now where we tend to tax things at the retail level. We tend to tax earned income at higher rates or different rates than we tax that money that just comes to you in other ways when you park your money.
And by the way, one other category, exempt, pre-tax, biggest boondoggle in America, aside from the estate tax. All of us who have a job and get our health benefits through work, it's not taxed. It's the giant middle class subsidy. It's pre-tax money. When we're arguing about the high cost of healthcare or whether we can have universal health insurance, remember, the people who earn the most don't pay any taxes on their health insurance.
And so that's how it reflects these values, right? The reason that we don't pay taxes on our health insurance is because we generally think that health insurance is a good thing. When the government says, hey, we're not going to tax something or we're going to lower the tax on it, they're incentivizing behavior. And when they put high taxes on it, like you do on alcohol and cigarettes, you're disincentivizing the behavior. And so the question is, what types of activities and behaviors do we want to promote as a society? And then you look at how the tax code actually gets written, and what you get is you get some of that. We want more of this kind of behavior, less of that kind of behavior. But then you also get this other thing where special interests lobby their own personal interest, which is how we got this crazy tax code that we have, and it looks to be like how the new tax code is going to shape up, right? It reflects a bunch of special interests in order to get it passed in Congress. And even now we're hearing that President Trump is hearing from a bunch of his friends in states of New York and New Jersey, where people are going to be hit particularly hard, and they're saying, hey, this isn't going to work. And so you're seeing it happen now.
By the way, what they want is exemption restored for your state taxes.
Correct. High tax states like New York, Connecticut.
It feels like a double tax, right? If you pay tax to Connecticut and then you don't get to exempt that from your federal taxes, it feels like you just got double taxed.
And it's worse. The tax policies of some states are built around the presumption that they're exempt. So if you change them overnight, then you really throw the state budgets completely crazy in the higher tax, higher benefit states, and they are higher benefit. That's why Medicaid eligibility in Connecticut is a heck of a lot higher than it is, say, in a low tax, state tax state like Alabama. I'm going to jump on Kelly's point about the values and say this. We've seen some jurisprudence in America over the past few years that say corporations are persons, right? They're people. They can lobby and sit down and make reservations at restaurants or whatever else persons do. They're sort of this moral entity. So that should shape our view a little bit of taxing. Basically, if you stash money offshore to avoid taxes, you're doing the same thing as going off the books when I just pay $20 to somebody to mow my lawn every week and nobody paid any taxes on that economic transaction, otherwise referred to as unethical or illegal, or the old, I have a nanny and I pay that nanny off the books, costing some politicians some their jobs or appointments. But my point being, if you're going to treat companies like people, then we ought to treat their behavior like we would people. And somebody who hid their taxes, we would not applaud them, even though it might make sense from a self-interest point of view. We'd say they're tax cheats.
So let me ask this question. Do you think it's even possible to come up with a fair and ethical tax code, given where we live?
I do fairer. I think we could do better. So, look, there's partly an ideological difference. The Republicans think if you have low taxes on rich people and companies, they'll gin up jobs and generate more opportunities, and that will trickle down to everybody else, and that will improve things for everybody, although it does have the nice advantage of having some mighty super rich people doing very, very well. However, if you get past the ideology, you need a tax plan or tax system that is transparent. There are a lot of people who donate and hide or get tax exemptions, and it's not transparent who they are. We all knew this from political contributions where the system lets you not disclose but still deduct. If we're going to have churches and synagogues active in the political sphere, they're tax-free. Are we going to hold them accountable? So one feature is transparency. Makes people understand what's going on and support the system. We don't have that, and we should. Even our good friend Donald Trump, did he release his taxes yet? Not transparent. We don't know if he's benefiting from his reform plans, which doesn't make them wrong, but at least would make them interesting. And the other thing I'd say is, aside from trying to figure out what economically makes sense, to make things fair, you gotta kind of earn your money. That's why that estate tax drives me nuts. I don't like inherited wealth at all. It seems to me non-deserved. So if you create jobs, if you do things that Congress and the president say they want to do, then I'd give you some tax breaks. But I don't think I should give you a tax break just because you have a lobbyist and you're going to get the shoelace loophole so that you can continue to make shoelaces at a lower tax rate because you lobbied hard.
Well, I also think that there should be at least equality between taxes on the money that you earn from working and the money that you earn from being rich, right? It should be the same rate. because that would say that we value both of those, as opposed to people who make all their money by working for it have less lobbying power, have less influence, and so they can't go and lobby to have their taxes be lowered because they're not a special interest group, basically. They're all of us. And people who do park their money in places and make money from it have all these special lobbying ties to get that, and they tend to be the people who make the decisions in the first place.
Well, that's why I was frothing about this stashing fortunes overseas to avoid taxes. That's a pretty good loophole for many, many companies who just don't pay any taxes because they've got their money in banks outside the U.S. or in the Cayman Islands or wherever. That can't possibly be fair. There's no possible justification for that except greed. I'm sure some of the stockholders in those companies are happy. But to me, again, tax code should be fair. If I did that and hid money and didn't declare it, some IRS agent's going to call me up for an audit. A lot of the companies seem to have systems where they can hide money off the books all over the world and put it in their, you know, annual report and say, hey, we're clever.
Not to be cynical, Kelly, but I think the answer to your question is no, we cannot create a fair tax system?
It wasn't truly a genuine question because I obviously don't think that given the system that we have for creating our tax code, I don't think it's possible to create a fair tax code either.
And remember, my answer was better, not fair.
In which Art comes out as the optimist.
You know, are we going to really do it? No, probably not. But you could see simple, clean, obvious steps that you could take. You don't have to destroy the whole tax system. Our big companies going to say, yeah, you know, tax us no matter where we stash our money around the world if they're multinationals? No. Do they hire zillions of lobbyists to protect that ridiculous loophole? Yes. Could we fix it? Yeah, I still think there's political will and public will to do it. I think the estate tax is a fun area to have this fight. I think the public doesn't really think that creating a generations of plutocrats is a wonderful idea. And by the way, politically, it might stop our emerging, you know, regal family models where only the rich and their descendants can run for political office built on inherited money. So I'm saying there are steps, and I even think there's political interest and will in taking them. You have to sort of square that off against 1 billion lobbyists and place your bets.
For Kelly McBride and Art Kaplan, I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what's right to do. Everyday Ethics is engineered, produced, and edited by Dustin Happily. Our researcher is
Christina Sokorenko.
Let me tell you.
Well, there we have it. An Everyday Ethics episode on the ethics of taxes. And I also want to say congratulations to Kelly McBride, who just got a promotion at the Poynter Institute. So you enjoy her every Wednesday, and now she's reaping the benefits for such. So what do you think? You know, we just heard a whole thing on taxes. What is right and what is wrong with taxation? Are you happy with the way your money is being spent? What would you change about the collection system? Or is everything perfect the way it is? Either way, we want to hear from you. Call us up at 813-239-9663, and that will get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace, who will chat with you for a little bit, and then through the magic of audio, send you soaring into the session with me and Mr. John Gilmore. That's 813-239-9663, and we'll be back to chat with you after these very important announcements.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Alert Today Florida, dedicated to safeguarding bicyclists and pedestrians in Tampa Bay and throughout the state. Alert Today Florida is a statewide grassroots effort to increase the safety of those who bike and walk. Details at alerttodayflorida.com. And support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned full-service footwear store featuring Birkenstock, Kenco massage sandals, and many other name brands. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear fashioned to provide relief to people with foot, leg, knee, and back pain, styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
Thank you very much, Mr. John Gilmore. So if you're just joining us, we're in a conversation about taxation and taxes and how your money's spent. You can call us up at 813-239-9663, and we'll chat with you a little bit about what you think. So, all the way from the West Coast, we're going to start the conversation with Mike from San Jose. Mike, how are you doing? And go Sharks.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, police unfairness.
Okay.
I was listening to, I forgot where in the country, where some police officers were hiding some stuff on the camera. I think it was here in California, mm-hmm. where they were reviewing the camera, and the police officer responded to like a lady who would always call the police and for any little reason. And when the police officers arrived, they they were like the usuals, and they arrested her, and they ended up lying, saying, oh, quit biting me. And some investigators checked it out, and it wasn't true. When the police officer made that comment, and the camera couldn't see any of that, it was just said just so the police can have something against that lady.
So is this a specific instance that you heard about? Is there any way for you to maybe tell the listeners and myself and Mr. John Gilmore where you heard this specific, what news source you might have heard this from?
I think it was CNN or NPR News.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they were checking out the body cam, and then, the police officers were found. After checking out the body cam, they found that the police officers were lying, and I believe they got suspended or something because of their false accusations to the lady who had obviously a mental ill problem. Mm-hmm. And here in San Jose, I was at the hospital. Okay. at the San Jose Bascom, the Valley Medical, and I was looking out my window, and I saw a grown man with his father, and he obviously had mental problem issues. And the police officers that approached him with lots of cautious and started to command things towards him. And I started recording the situation, and the police officer started to yell at me and tell me that I can't record, so I had to turn the camera off. And the police officer continued to yell and arrest the poor mental disabled kid, and he really treated him really bad, like if he would treat someone who was a criminal.
Okay, well, I want to let you know that you can record. That's federal, right? Yep. Just to keep in mind for the future. And I'll tell you what, Mike, if you can find us any information about these specific things, you can always email us at dj@wmnf.org, and certainly we'll be able to bring them up into conversation with more article-based evidence.
Yep.
But I want to thank you for your call, Mike, and you gave us something that we'll be able to talk about maybe a little bit later. Thank you, Mike. All right, so we're in a conversation about taxes, but of course you're allowed to bring up any topic you feel fit to talk about. And we're going to go and talk to Dan in St. Pete. Dan, happy Wednesday.
Hey. I'm thinking there's been decent changes made on taxes with they're collecting the bed tax on the Airbnb. I saw that's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And Amazon, where they used to send all the stuff up, not collect sales tax, and that's a big number. So good to see those loopholes closed. So, and everyone's using credit cards now. So those sales are being reported, and that's good. So I think I like this sales tax collection thing, and I see improvement there. I see waste on the government side.
Okay.
That we can save money there. You know, and as far as Medicare for all and stuff like that, I mean, I just turned 66, 65 or 66. You know, it's nice to work and achieve that benefit, right?
Right.
And you go, wow, now everyone's going to get it when they're 20 and 30. And you go, you get a little greedy going, well, why? I paid in the whole time, you know, waited for operation. So, I mean, I'm not really sure where I'm going with that part.
Well, everybody, if we had Medicare for all, everybody would be covered.
Right.
But a lot of the folks that would be paying would be younger folks who wouldn't be using the services very much. And you'd still be getting your services.
Okay.
This is something to think about.
Yeah. Those are some random thoughts. So thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Dan, from St. Pete.
Random thoughts is what I do best.
We hope you call back with more random thoughts. We always love to hear it.
More random thoughts.
So we're going to go and talk to Kevin in Bradenton. This is your only, you've been listening for years, but this is only your second time calling.
Yeah, sometimes I just can't get around to it this late in the afternoon. But anyway.
Oh, welcome back.
Let's continue on the random thoughts territory. So, you know, when we talk about the taxes and the tax system, which the convoluted tax system in the United States, the one thing, I don't know, I'm going on 64. When I grew up in Danbury, Connecticut, I remember delivering papers to the poor houses. There was actually like a bunch of barracks in a certain part of town where, you know, all the people that were poor lived. And my parents, my mom told me, you know, they used to live there. And, you know, where I'm going with this is it seems to me that the poor, when I used to be able to, you know, see that and I could see the poor and where they lived, I don't see that anymore. There's like a disappearance. According to what we see on TV, I really don't see, except for MNF, of course, from our media, any real coverage mm-hmm. of the plight of the poor people. And it does seem like they've just kind of disappeared from the face of the earth, even though we know there's like millions of them out there. So, you know, my random thought on this is, you know, when you hear Bloomberg and this guy from Starbucks or whoever is the latest billionaire, you know, besides Donald Trump, who's going to try to tell us how, you know, things are greater than, you know, than they really are. My point is, you know, maybe these poor, overtaxed, hardworking, rich billionaires, you know, really, really feel about how do they feel really in their heart about poor people. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. I think that they think poor people just didn't work hard enough. They didn't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They constantly say things like, well, they spend all their money on liquor and women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard senators actually say this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
we found out in Florida that they started to do drug testing on people who were applying for state assistance.
Right.
And we found out, much to our surprise, that people who need state assistance don't have money for drugs.
Hmm. Go figure.
Who knew?
But on the other hand, Rick Scott's wife, you know, she needed the business, so you know it was all a good deal for them.
Well, I think somebody got the business, but I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah. Now I want to go back to your point. You were talking about poorer people. Are you saying it's we don't see them as in we don't see them in the media as much coverage?
Right. I'm saying that it's not like it used to be in the old days in the 40s or 50s where they were all kind of congregated. And you could at least say, oh, those poor people, you know, they live there and it's terrible. I don't see where when I drive around, I mean, occasionally I'll go through parts of town where, you know, it's obviously run down and there's, you know, poor, you know, crack people or whatever they are. I mean, I feel sorry for these people. I actually feel like I could have been one of them if I wasn't born into the family that I was born in.
Mm-hmm,
and I just think that these rich people that are going to try to save us from ourselves, you know, it goes all the way back, and I hate to say this, but the way that the country was founded, you know, they didn't believe anybody should vote except for the
white landowners. So, mm-hmm. you know, it starts there, and that's where I think, you know, poor people, you know, have always been relegated to not being good enough to have an opinion worth hearing. And so the media, except for you guys, honest, I mean, I love MNF. The media itself, I think, has totally dropped the ball on how many poor people are just dropping out of society, are killing themselves with opioids and with all these things, and, you know, they can't afford the right health care. There's just so many things that are going on, but the issue is that people are poorer than they think they are. You know, there's a lot of people that actually don't think they're poor.
Right.
And they really are. So, anyway, I love you guys' show, man. I really appreciate this.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
And hopefully I can open it up, you know, continue to hear some other people mention the fact that
you know
poor.
I think you. I think you're going to be doing that. I think we're going to. We got some calls lighting up, and we appreciate you opening up this conversation.
Thanks, Kevin.
Well, thanks again, man. I appreciate you guys. Take care. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
So
Kevin.
There is actually a viewpoint that says that considers poverty to be a character flaw.
Yeah.
So there is that.
Okay, we're going to go talk to Andrew in St. Pete. Andrew, happy Wednesday.
Yeah. Thanks. The caller before you mentioned the fact that he couldn't see the poor. I don't know, maybe he can't, but I see them all the time where I live in South St. Pete.
Mm-hmm.
They all congregate around the shelters, especially like the Salvation Army. There's a Salvation Army in South St. Pete. And if you want to see a lot of poor, they mostly stay around there waiting for food.
Mm.
And maybe they're doing other stuff that's illegal, but I'm not going to jump on them about that. But, yeah, there's a lot of poor. In downtown St. Pete, there's still a lot of homeless people and poor. And then there's a lot of homeless people by the bus station, the main bus station up by 34th Street and Central. Actually, they become the cops kick them out all the time. Mm. So, and then who knows where they go? You know, there's a lot of poor, and the media won't cover that. The media doesn't cover Tampa Bay Times or the local stations.
Why do you think that is?
They don't want to put a bad vibe on the media, on the people that live here. You know, they don't want us to see how bad it is. Well, the neighborhood association where I live, they're always calling the Salvation Army and the police about the homeless.
Hmm.
But they, you know, the media doesn't, Tampa Bay Times doesn't write anything about it. I've never seen anything about it, about all the people by Salvation Army, you know. But they're the only, that's the only one I know. And then they all camp under the interstate by St. Vincent de Paul. They've got the homeless place there. Yeah, they're pretty much trying to hide them.
Hmm.
That's what I've seen.
Anyway. There used to be, and there still are, there used to be these developments that we called projects.
Right.
They're going, yeah, well, they're getting rid of the Jordan Park one.
Yeah, well, a lot of them were very, very, very old, and yeah, they were in extremely poor conditions, and we have just up Central Avenue from us, I believe it's called Riverview Terrace.
Yeah.
And that was completely rebuilt, and they rebuilt it into a mixed-use community. There are single-family houses, there's retail, there's all kinds of stuff.
Now, that in Tampa, right?
Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, where Tampa Bay, where the Tropicana Field is now, that used to be right at the corner of MLK and the 4th Avenue South. That was all homes for old people, for senior citizens.
Yeah.
Because when I moved down here, that was... Now they converted it, and who knows what they did with those senior citizens.
Now,
some of them I talked to are still waiting for subsidized housing. Like, I see a few at the Y, and they're waiting for subsidized housing.
I think what the debate comes on to is, and we talk about it a lot, is gentrification. And we have this idea of how far should that go, and how much should we reward that? You know, when stuff happens, when we're quote-unquote bettering a city, we're not building new land, we're utilizing land that's already been used.
Yeah, well, they're doing that down in South St. Pete.
Right.
And, well, it has its good points and its bad points, but the people that are gentrifying our room.
Yeah, I mean, you recover a neighborhood and the tax base goes up, and the people who have been living there for a long time, who are often not particularly well off, find themselves unable to stay in the homes that they've had for decades because they can no longer pay the taxes.
Truth be told, where I live, if I wouldn't have moved in here 40 years ago, I couldn't afford to live here now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
All right, Andrew, we appreciate talking to you, and please, please call again. You have some great points. Thank you so much. Have fun in St. Pete over there.
And by the way, 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation, and you may be listening and notice that you have opinions that haven't been expressed. Why, by all means, don't let that go by. Pick up your phone or your device and tap out 813-239-9663. Let Bill know that it's the first time that you've called us, and we'll get you in the priority boarding lane.
And as you're dialing rapidly, we're going to go and talk to Jeff in Lakeland. Jeff, hello.
Hello, how you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Speaking for myself, I suppose.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, in the last few weeks how they brought back up the Eisenhower and the Roosevelt tax structure and how few people really know what really went on. I mean, Eisenhower was 90%.
Yeah.
And then Roosevelt was 96% top tax rate. And they said that it brought us the space, that it brought us NASA, it brought us a lot of things, that the interstate system, all that kind of stuff. And it's like most people don't know about that. And I wonder how in the world it dropped from like 90 to like 40, like in a matter of 10 years, you know.
We hear people harken back to the good old days of the 50s and how wonderful it was and all that other kind of stuff, and fail to recognize that the top tax bracket was as you cited.
Right. And I tell you another thing, I don't know if you guys heard last week, but Morgan & Morgan, the one that brought us the medical marijuana, is going after minimum wage. And he was saying that he deals with a lot of people and that he sees how they struggle. And, you know, he deals with the brothers and the fathers and the mothers. And he says that most people don't have more than $400 in the bank. And he said if a transmission goes out or something happens in their house, they can't afford anything. And he said he sees it directly, and he says, as far as I'm concerned, the tax cut that I got from Trump is disgusting. He said, I'll put it in one word. And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if you guys saw that last week, but it was really, the way he laid that thing out, it was really compelling about how people are struggling, you know, and I don't think a lot of people know how bad it is.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's often ignored. I think you're fair on that point.
Yeah, like you said, they make $8.50 an hour, and they work all week, and they pay the daycare, and they pay their rent, and they pay their cable, and they pay their electric, and the next stop is the food bank.
Mm.
It was just really compelling. If you get a chance to watch, it's about 27 minutes long. It took me a while to find it, but it's just really interesting.
Yeah. If you happen to find it again, we'd love it if you'd email it to us, and we'll be able to watch it on here. Thank you so much for your call, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you. 813-239-9663 will get you into the session with me and John Gilmore, and we'll be right back after some more announcements.
Did you know that WMNF is a non-profit radio station that's mostly funded by donations from listeners like you? Thanks to our current members, we couldn't be on the air without you. Our winter pledge drive is February 6th through the 13th, but you can give today. Donate at WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001, and thanks.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The March 23rd Caribbean Cruise Music Festival takes place at Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafari, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band, Tassa Drums, African Dancers, Bickley Rivera and Nelson with Island Chill.
Everybody wondering what the world's coming to.
Ghana, Renegade, Gia, Wayne Stutter, Soka Van, The Man, DJ Spice will be our DJ. See you there, 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 there on the 23rd of March, 2019 at Skipper's Smokehouse. The doors open at 3 p.m. For more information, go online to WMNF.org or call us here at 813-238-8001.
WMNF's Winter Membership Drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing missjulie at wmnf.org.
Back to the conversation at hand. At this, you are listening to Executive Session at WMNF 88.5 FM in Tampa, and you can call us at 813-239-9663. Well, you'll be able to talk to us just like we're going to go talk to Miles in Sarasota. Miles, happy Wednesday. Happy January.
Just a happy January. That's right. I had a movie company down here for many years, about 23 years. I moved a lot of celebrities and athletes, all this stuff. And I'm thinking that, oh, my God, I came down from New York years ago. I lived in Atlanta for about 5 or 6 years, which I liked a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They're reasonable, you know. Excuse me. Even though it's Republican, they're very reasonable as far as wages go. I was paying guys $20, $25 an hour, you know, like 12, 15 years ago.
Mm.
And I was moving people like Pee Wee Herman. I shouldn't mention names, probably. Tom Selleck.
But what the heck, as long as we get.
Yeah, all right. You might come on with it, you know. Jesus.
I like to hope Pee Wee Herman is listening, but I doubt he may be.
No, probably not. He's a pretty cool guy, though, actually.
Yeah.
And he gave me my name to a bunch of his buddies, which are all very wealthy, you know.
Right.
But I always paid people because I knew it's so tough, man. It's expensive here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And always wanted to do the right thing. I don't know, I get a heart sucks in a way sometimes. Well, I guess it doesn't, but, you know. But I moved Tom Selleck, a lot of people here, you know, a lot of the White Sox, they came to Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
I moved a bunch of those cats there, so. And Atlanta, when I was up there with Grable, which is a big moving company up there.
Right.
We moved all the Falcons, we moved, you know, the Braves, you know, Dale Murphy, I moved him. So, the thing is, though, you got to pay people a reasonable, you know, wage. God, it's incredible, man. They just won't do it here.
So you're saying that the taxes aren't really the problem. It's the wages.
Well, I think so. You know, if it's going to be, you know, $13 a month for an apartment, and you're paying some guy $8 an hour, come on, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in the country right now who work full-time jobs who can't afford full-time living accommodations.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's crazy, and they have to keep up, obviously, with what's happening. You know, you can't really just throw things out there and say, well, you know, you're making $10 an hour, it didn't work 3 jobs. You know, like that idiot, I called Rush Limbaugh one time. You know, I probably shouldn't say this. I've said enough already. I'm probably going to be screwed. Who knows? I called this knucklehead one time, and I got through. And he said, well, if you can't make it at 2 jobs, work 4 jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you dingbat. I think we'd call this idiot. This is a knucklehead. So I called him. He hung up on me. You know, I said, okay, that's all right. I understand, you know. It's too intense. You hang up. I was a disc jockey for about 5 years, so I know the game. You know, he just hung up on me. I said, okay, well, whatever. But
there is this idea that people who are poor are not working hard enough.
Yeah.
And I very much do not agree with that because, you know what? That's a falsehood.
Yeah.
It's crap. It's crap.
See, and I also want to caution people about this pull yourself up by your bootstraps thing.
Yeah, right.
That's the quickest way I know to need chiropractic care right there, because you put a pair of boots on and then try to pick yourself up by the straps, you're going to injure yourself, and there's no other way to say that.
Let me tell you, okay, I knew friends of mine who were very famous in the entertainment or music business in Atlanta. I've got people down here my parents know, and they're very wealthy, and I'll give you about 2 cents on all of them. Okay. No, I'm serious. Believe me, I know people at CBS, I know all these guys in Atlanta are friends of mine, and they're some really good people, okay? But I came here and met these knuckleheads that were rich, and screw it, man, you know, the hell with them. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, how much money do you need, man? It's ridiculous.
Well, see, now there's the problem. There's one of the fundamental difficulties, as far as I can tell, about money, and that is that there's no such thing as enough.
Right? It's pathetic. You know, Bill Gates said it. How much money do you friggin' need? Seriously, no, really though. You know, I've got friends in the music business, 38 Special. They're friends of mine. You know, in Atlanta. You know, they're good guys, and they're really good people. But it's not a big thing with them with money. Okay. But a lot of these knuckleheads, it's funny, man. It's sick.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry to be so blunt, but you know, this is ridiculous, you know.
No. Bluntness is good. Miles,
bluntness is okay as long as it's civil bluntness. Yeah. We don't mind civil bluntness, Miles.
Life is too short, okay?
Yeah.
It's too short, man, for this nonsense, you know. So okay. I hope that someday this Trump idiot, he won't do anything, you know. He's another user, you know. So he'll probably do nothing. But I hope someday that somebody with some brains gets in there. But it's hard to even switch it around now at this point, I think, you know.
Well, we want to thank you for your call, and please call again. We appreciate your straight to the point point of view.
We'll talk again.
Thanks, Miles.
I probably scared away all your listeners. I hope.
I don't think so. 813-239-9663 will get you into the session. And we also accept emails and texts. This is coming in from our email. An anonymous listener says that tourist tax in Florida have increased in the last couple of years. Hotels and Airbnbs have done well. I have been a resident in Florida for most of my life. Many Florida residents are living in hotels and using Airbnb. It's a great way to make money in taxes. Average cost of a night, $70 plus. So there's one point of view. You know, we do have a big tourism basis, and perhaps those taxes help. We're going to go and talk to Max in Riverview. Hello, Max. Happy Wednesday.
Hey there. I think you meant Zach in Riverview, but that's okay.
Okay.
Right. Hey, we're so happy to have you.
Is it you?
It is me.
Well, there you are then.
So you guys were talking about taxes, and earlier show they were talking about health care, and it's like similar with both of them. The United States has this amazing ability to just, like, stupidly overcomplicate everything. And I'm amazed that they always act like we are the only country on Earth that's ever had to do any of this stuff. What, I don't understand why we can't find out which one is working the best on this planet and kind of copy it.
Yeah, there certainly are a lot of experiments, aren't there?
Yeah, and as far as taxes, I've always wondered why we can't get, like, the rough percentage of, you know, how much tax money is brought in, how many people are paying, gives you the, you know, per person, per capita, whatever, paying, and figure out a rough expenditure of tax, you know, a sales tax.
Right.
Just across-the-board sales tax. And don't tax food and don't tax shelter. So if you're poor, you don't pay any tax. If you're wealthy, if you're buying a Ferrari, guess what? You're paying a hefty amount of tax on that Ferrari. It just seems like it's so simple. And that way you can get all, like, okay, let's say you're an illegal drug dealer and you're buying Ferrari. Well, guess what? You're paying a heck of a lot of tax.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we have to... Every year we make it more and more and more complicated when I think we should be trying to simplify things.
Do you think there's a hidden agenda with this complexity?
Oh, of course.
I would agree with you.
The people who make the laws are the ones trying to hide their money. So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, when you look in Florida statutes and you find a tax exemption for ostrich food, it's possible there was a lobbyist involved.
Maybe. Wow. There you go. That's enough said.
All right, Max. Thanks for... Oh, Zach, excuse me. Thank you, Zach, for calling.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, 813-239-9663. As we head into the always exciting lightning round here at Executive Session, we're going to go and talk to Rick in Largo. Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
Hello. You know, all this talk about, you know, the poor people and everything, I was reminded Trump's reply when he was asked, why did you appoint all these billionaires to your cabinet, making it the wealthiest cabinet in the history of the United States? And he replied, because I didn't want to appoint poor people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
It makes sense to him.
Well, no, if you have to ask twice, does it make sense? You kind of get the idea that he knows he's full of it. But think about it. He has just stated that millionaires are poor people because he didn't want to appoint poor people, so he appointed all billionaires. So...
there is no in-between, apparently.
Right, right. And it's kind of ironic because I think the reason he doesn't want to reveal his income taxes is, well, it's been speculated before that he's not as wealthy as he says he is. You know,
you think?
The Russian thing aside, he's probably so leveraged that he's one of, in his mind, the poor people. But if he thinks millionaires are poor, what the hell does that mean to say about the rest of us?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I am amazed at the people who continue to cling to the notion that this is a blue-collar billionaire. He's a billionaire who flies around in a gold-plated 757 and lives in a gold-plated tower in the sky.
And he's just like us.
And he's just like you and I.
Right. I've heard that, too. It boggles the mind.
I do remember when our last president would get criticism of being, in lesser terms, bougie, a more elitist. Now, I want to say... this seems a little, in hindsight, you know, hindsight is 2020. I think we might have been a little off on claiming that this president was an elitist statue. I would argue that a man, quite literally a gold miser, as it appears, would be a little bit more elitist than Barack Obama.
Well... yeah, I mean, Obama. I don't know how you come off imagining someone's an elitist when they got their start doing community organizing on the south side of Chicago.
Right.
That's about as far from the elite as you could possibly get and still stay on the ground.
real quick.
Yes.
It amazes me that, you know, the people wanted to vote for him, but think about it. If you, either one of you, would you go to apply for an astrophysicist job?
I would not. I mean,
everybody that applies for a job has to have qualifications, except for the President of the United States. You've got to have some government experience. Otherwise, you get what we've got now.
Well, that was one of the fundamental prompts for the creation of Executive Session, is that we noticed that we had elected someone to the presidency who had absolutely no experience whatsoever in government of any kind. And we thought it might be worth keeping an eye on such a person.
And that would keep...
sounds like they figured out where you are, Rick.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. All right. I think that might wrap us up here. Gonna... you know, this always seems to be the fastest hour in radio. And of course, I want to thank all of our callers, listeners, and all those who help this show stay up and running, especially my dear friend, Mr. John Gilmore, and the always unsung hero of the show, the mind behind the phone line, Mr. Bill Grace. As always, we want to invite you to stay tuned to another great edition of the All Souls edition of It's the Music, and remind you that you can hear this show, Executive Session, every week, Monday through Thursday, right here on 88.5 FM, just a little bit after 1 p.m. As for this Wednesday edition of Executive Session, on WMNF, I've been Adam Back saying thank you for listening, and with any luck, we'll talk again.
Yes, we will. And we'll be back tomorrow. We may be spending some time with Mr. Kopp tomorrow, and we may get an opportunity to talk about the fact that the intelligence community of the United States of America presented its worldview yesterday, and just how far from the president's worldview that was. So you might want to look at some of that stuff. And in the meantime, always keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This has been Executive Session. You are listening to WMNF Tampa.